Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
There's that question, like, where do you want this to go? And, like, do you want it to even go there if it does? You know, like, you're still in college. You have dreams and, like, things you want to do. You know, like, you want to see Europe still.
You've probably already heard every breakup excuse in the book. Because relationships really only go one of two ways. Happily ever after or Heartbreak Hotel. And since legally you're only allowed to sign a lifelong love contract with one person at a time, odds are the path you're on will end with you and your partner saying goodbye. Or goodbye, then hey stranger, then goodbye again, and then at 2 a.m. you up, and then that awkward slow fizzle. Breakups, am I right? They're messy, complicated, sometimes humorous, often heartbreaking, mostly for the best, and always entertaining to others. And that's where we come in. Welcome to the X Games. Yes, that's X with an EX. A podcast about dating and breakups in which everyone plays and absolutely no one wins. I'm Caitlin Cawley, Elite Daily's editor-at-large, and I'm here to walk you through both sides of a breakup story and hopefully end up somewhere near the truth. Each week, we'll examine a new, ill-fated relationship. Both parties will say their piece separately, as we attempt to thread together a narrative and pinpoint where it all went wrong. Afterward, we'll let them listen to each other, and then finally and honestly have it out. For our first episode, we'll be talking to Bustle editor Emma and her first love, Alex. Alex and Emma were college sweethearts who fell into some of the more stereotypical traps of college relationships. High school girlfriends, long distance, 18-year-old angst, and Disney costumes. So what exactly happened to their storybook romance? As anyone who's ever gone into and subsequently out of a relationship knows, there are at least two sides to every story.
I met Alex for the first time on the first class of the first day of my first year of college. We were in a theater class. We both harbored young, naive dreams of being theatrical people in those days.
So I first met Emma my first day of classes in college. We had an acting class together, and I think there were seven or eight people there, so, you know, it was pretty, like, apparent, like, who you're gonna have to spend a semester with.
I think, honestly, I was, like, a little bit too, like, gobsmacked to make any first impressions on that day. I was like, oh, he's cute. Panic about, like, literally everything. So that was the first time we met.
And I remember thinking to myself, like, I bet I'm going to date that woman. It wasn't like a romantic butterflies or like, I don't know, like that you get like the, like electric currents or whatever. You're like, wow, like there's this immediate connection. It was like a resigned fact. I think this is going to happen. Like if you saw a wave coming towards you on the beach and you think to yourself, I bet I'm going to get knocked down by that.
I remember actually all the guys in that theater class had this thing that started from the first day where they were all really mean to me for a joke. Like that was just like a thing that was happening. And he was like part of that merry band for like at least a few weeks. And then we were just, you know, we were very fast friends.
Hey, it's me, Caitlin, here. I'll be popping in from time to time, so I hope you don't hate the sound of my voice. It would seem Alex and Emma are on the fast track to love, despite Alex's kindergarten antics. But we all know it's never really that simple.
So I had been seeing someone in high school. So when I got to college, I already had a significant other. It made it so that we had to actually know each other, like know each other as friends before any sort of like relationship.
He had a girlfriend who went to another school. And I'm a very late bloomer. I had never like had any kind of like emotions for a boy before. So like when they started happening, I was like, that's not what it is. We're just best friends. It's totally casual, except that when he doesn't show up to places, I get really sad and I think about him a lot. And I'm talking to my parents about him. You know, I don't think it was until like,
I guess there was just like a switch into like, wow, like I feel very comfortable with you And, you know, like when you feel like you can share, like your like secret, like secrets or feelings with somebody. And I think we really had that, which was, you know, which was not great because at the time I was like 18 and, and still, you know, seeing this other woman. And I was like, that's probably not a great look. I was getting more emotionally close to Emma than I should have been, I think. And she wasn't very happy with that. She wasn't very happy with that at all.
We were at this party and he didn't like make a move on me, but like did this kind of thing like that theater kids do where you press your lips in front of your thumbs and then you like fake kiss. And that's like a theater thing that people do. And he like did that to me at a party. And I was so mad. I somebody drove us home and I remember talking to him outside his dorm and being like, you can't do that because like you like, and we danced around it for like 2 hours where I was like, you know that I feel this way and I, you know, you have this girlfriend and that's shitty. So that was kind of like when we were both like, we can't pretend that's not happening because we were already like hanging out all the time and it was like super awkward.
So what was an 18-year-old Emma to do?
And at some point she was like, look, like you need to break things off with this other girl right now.
We were in a show together at the same time over the summer and he was still dating this girl and I was very angry with him and I was like, shut it down. I think I literally, like, in the way only an 18-year-old girl can, was like, if you haven't shut it down by this date, like, I'm done.
And so we had like this big ultimatum and then like a week later
he like,
I finally broke things off,
texted me, and he'd broken up with his girlfriend. So now we're, you know, dating long distance.
So at that point we're going to separate schools.
We both started out at James Madison University and he transferred to Virginia Tech.
She actually ended up transferring schools.
So that's when it got messy and unmessy at the same time. Right from the start, we were like officially boyfriend and girlfriend, but we couldn't like put it on Facebook or anything because my parents understandably did not like him. Because from their perspective, they were like, oh, there's this guy who's been jerking our daughter around.
I guess that makes it sound like the entire thing was terrible. No, I think that we...
Were we happy? I would say yes, for the most part.
I think that we had a lot of nice times.
But it wasn't exactly smooth sailing just yet, because this relationship was about to go the distance, long distance.
We, you know, started dating. It was kind of stressful, A, because we couldn't tell my parents, and B, because of the distance. And then C, because I transferred out to the University of Virginia 6 months after that, and he kind of wanted to come back to JMU at that time. And I think he kind of thought that I was a little bit taking that option from him because it just wasn't going to be the same thing anymore if I wasn't there.
Because our relationship was long distance, it really separated itself into these moments when we would actually be able to see each other. And so it was always a highlight when you got to switch from, you know, texting or talking on the phone or Skype, what have you, to actually seeing the other person in person.
I actually don't even know if he remembers it, but he came to my new apartment at UVA, and I really loved this stupid Alfredo dish from some restaurant near his house, like in Northern Virginia, like, you know, hours away. And he found the grocery store version of it, and he, like, went up to my apartment, and he cooked it, and I was 20 and I had just started drinking. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening to this. And we, like, split a bottle of wine, and he put on Frank Sinatra, and we just, like, had this really delicious meal, and then we just, like, danced in my apartment. It was, like, I just remember, like, just, like, really lazily and a little bit, like, you know, one of my first times ever being tipsy and just, like, slow dancing in this apartment and just feeling, like, weirdly, deeply content in that way that, you know, it's, like, you're 19, 20, you don't get moments like that very often, and just... You know, it was one of those moments where I was like, it was worth all the shit that got us to this moment right now.
One of my favorite moments for a Halloween where she wanted very badly to do like a, she wanted to do a couple's costume and she wanted to be a Disney princess and have me like be her prince. And I, so at the time, you know, I'm like, oh, that sounds like, I don't want to do a couple's costume. But she really wanted it. So we ended up like going out to Walmart or Target or something and buying this like bathroom rug. It's like gross yellow, like fake gold looking bathroom rug. and cutting out these like epaulets, you know, is maybe not the prince that you were imagining when you thought this idea, but I'm glad that you could have this.
Well, that's adorable.
And then she ended up getting robbed that night.
And I take it back.
Somebody like stole her purse and money and phone and all of that. So I ended up with a Disney princess sobbing on my shoulder, like into the bathroom carpet costume. But it was fun. There was a lot. I don't know. We had a lot of fun, I think.
Well, what an interesting idea of fun, I guess. And don't worry, we'll hear Emma side of the story when we get them both in the same room.
You know, when we saw each other, it was great. Like, it was always, we always had a great time.
The first time we said, I love you.
You know what? He did say it first.
Oh, God, I think we were having, like, a fight.
When I was trying to break up with him.
Or she said, like, well, then why would you, like, never say that you loved me, maybe? And I was like, I do love you. And she's like, this is not the time or the place.
I was like, this is like.
That's the worst possible.
This is not romantic. Like
time to tell someone that you love them. when they're like accusing you of not ever saying that.
You know, and in retrospect, I wish that I had not. I wish that hadn't been such a sticking point with me because. You know, it was there in the actions.
There's that part in The Princess Bride where he's like, oh, all of these different things I said to you really meant I love you.
Even if it wasn't in the words.
Right.
And, you know, once we did start saying it, you know, it just nothing about the relationship really changed. You know, it just was. But, you know, it's your first relationship. Of course, it's a sticking point.
All I remember is that it's like that. Arrested Development, like I've made a huge mistake.
Yeah, saying I love you for the first time when your girlfriend is trying to break up with you isn't exactly ideal. Which brings us to the beginning of the end.
I knew it was ending toward the beginning of my junior year. At that point, we had been dating out in the open for about a solid year. And I don't think there was like a moment. You know, we'd spent the whole summer together, which was awesome. I came back to school and then I visited him. And at some point over the weekend, I remember we'd had like half a glass of wine and I just started bawling and I like couldn't tell him why. And I think that I kind of knew that it wasn't going
to
work.
And so there's that question, like, where do you want this to go? And like, do you want it to even go there if it does? You know, like you're still in college, you have dreams and like things you want to do, like career goals, you know, like you want to see Europe still.
Like this sounds so ridiculous now at 25, but like at 19 or 20, I was like crying because I just like felt like a lot of my life had already passed me by and I like needed a big change and I didn't know what it was. And I think that I also just like knew that we were dragging each other down. And as long as we were dating and trying to maintain this, that it just wasn't going to work out.
You know, everyone has their own things. And there's like this feeling in the back of your mind, or at least, can you do those things when you are so committed to another person? I think that's something that she was really struggling with.
He'd told me in the beginning of the relationship, if we ever break up with each other, do not come to Blacksburg to do it. And I won't come to Virginia to do it or to Charlottesville and do it. Like, that's like not something that I would want somebody to be like, stuck in another city doing, like, do it over Skype.
It was like a text. I guess it was a text message. He's like, can you call me when you get home?
I remember I texted him.
And I was like, oh, that's okay. Cool.
And, you know, I knew he knew it was coming because I texted him and I said, can I call you on Skype? And he said, no. And he tried to call me and I was like, I need to talk to you on Skype. And he was like, no, we don't need to talk on Skype.
I felt blindsided that she wanted to break things off. Because it was only looking, you know, back with some distance from that moment, I was able to see these, like, things that should have been signs, that should have clued me in.
You know, we talked on Skype, you know, a lot for not breakup-related reasons, but the fact that he was very resistant to get on Skype that day, you know, he knew it was coming. I think some part of him maybe even knew before I did.
So the biggest reason I should have known that she wanted to break up with me is because at the beginning of that summer, she said, I want to break up with you. And that should have been a real red flag, I think.
And he was, like, angry. He was, like, very upset. And justifiably so. You know, it's like, it surprised me because I had never seen him really get riled up like that before. And I just was crying the whole time. And, you know, and it just was mostly me saying I was sorry. And then, you know, he got unangry and started saying things that I wish that, you know, that hurt me more than the things that were supposed to be hurtful, which were like things like, you know, if you ever change your mind, you know, like he was like, you're going to change your mind. I think you're going to change your mind. Call me when you do. Like, and he was like, if it's tomorrow, if it's next year, if it's 10 years.
Me here again, because I think Alex and Emma sort of dance around the fact that this breakup was a long time coming. But in reality, Emma had tried and failed to do it a couple of times before. But the thing about college relationships is that so much of who you are and what you think is important in the world is tangled up in this other person. Actually breaking up with someone, someone who's been so formative for you, is both difficult and scary. How does someone who means so much to you go from being your everything to a total stranger?
The thing I missed most after our relationship was, I think, the friendship. That the emotional closeness that we had, and that's always a hard thing to lose. I guess, like, your confidant, your like the person that you go to, like, so you go to first when you want to share news or you want to talk about something.
It was in a weird way like somebody had died. Like, I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's like you spend your whole day, you know, he was like the first person I texted, the first person I called. I'd get out of class and be like, if something exciting had happened, he was like, I literally was like, you know, just like, and calling him, you know, it was like so automatic for me that I didn't know how to not be that way. And I was trying to give him space, and it was bad, and then I ungave him his space, and I think I, you know, did not react very maturely.
I don't think that the breakup was my fault.
Obviously, it was 100% my fault.
Like, the breakup is your fault if, you know, you gamble away your 401k. And, you know, the other person finds out and it's like, you've done a terrible thing to me. Or, like, I don't know, you skip anniversary to go kayaking with your guy friends.
I think that he's the kind of person that would have just stuck it out no matter what. And I think that's his personality. I think that it is a sweet and gentle thing about him, but I think it is also something that will bite him in the ass sometimes, because he is the kind of person who just sticks it out, you know, and won't get out of a situation when it's bad. Whereas I'm the person who's like, I see this getting bad from 400 miles away. Goodbye.
I'm saying things felt so serious, trying to think back how I felt 6 years ago. I don't know that I would have changed anything if I was, you know, 18 or 19 again.
You know, if I had the chance to do it all over again, I'd do the same thing. I would have handled it much more gracefully. I don't think it would have changed the breakup. But if I could do it all over again, I would still do all of the messy, stupid, shitty things we did before that too. You know, it's like it was a life-defining relationship. You know, he was my first everything. Like, it, you know, and I couldn't have asked for somebody to have been a better first everything.
I'm sure, like, now if I, you know, was just like watching this from the outside, emotionally detached, I'd be like, oh my God, these children have no idea what they're doing. Like, everything is ridiculous. These people are babies. Why are you doing any of these things?
Am I still in love with him? I think that there was always a part of me that loves him the way that you love anybody who's that important to you. And I think he knows that.
Am I still in love with him? No. And I was for a significant amount of time. And I don't know why or when in particular that changed.
We're not in love with each other anymore. You know, we've met up a few times since, and it is that profound sense of in a way, with nobody else, where I'm like, here's a person who, after so many years can go by, like, still knows me arguably better than anyone in the world. It's so weird. You know, like, we are constantly reminding each other of, like, things that, I've, like, buried in some weird corner of my mind that I'm like, oh, that was a person that I was once and a person I still am. And so our friendship these days is, you know, we're not in touch all the time, but I'm glad that we are now. We weren't for several years.
Like, literally no contact, no messaging, no anything.
Of course, as the saying goes, hindsight is 20/20, and all those seemingly insurmountable mountains become molehills in your rearview mirror. 6 years ago, Alex and Emma went their separate ways. They didn't see each other and they didn't talk until one fateful day, 2 years ago, when a car crash brought them back together. Kinda.
I had started working in like college sports at that point, because we had both graduated. I was working a football game at her like old university. And I ended up getting in a car crash. And my first thought was, I wish she still lived here because I bet I could guilt trip her into letting me sleep on a couch.
And then he got into a car accident at my old school. And I kind of always knew that if we were going to get back in touch with each other, there was going to be some like weird instigating event like that.
Yeah, it was all because I smashed my car.
He was fine. Everyone was fine.
If it hadn't been for that, I honestly don't think I ever would have reached out. And so I ended up messaging, and she immediately was like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And I guess we reconnected a little bit to the point where I guess like we're friends again now.
And now, you know, it's like, I feel like we are in touch with each other kind of like about the bigger things that go on in our lives. You know, he's kind of like a sounding board for things. And I trust him in a way that there are few people in my life I can trust. It's, you know, it's like, kind of like the way I would ask my sisters or my brother about something. It's like, you know me, you know what I want out of this world. I don't have to like make myself seem a certain way before I ask you about this. Like, you know, I don't have to like sound humble or sound like apologetic about, you know, things that annoy me. Or
I want to hear what she's up to.
And, you know, I trust him. And, you know, it's nice to have somebody you can trust who has your whole 360 degrees understanding of you. And, you know, I hope he feels that way about me, too. I hope that's, you know, when he talks to me, it's as somebody who still wants the best for him and still, you know, has that kind of understanding of who he was and who he is and what he deserves out of life.
It's been a long time since I was in a relationship with Emma, and both of, you know, well, definitely me, I assume her, have grown so much as people and as adults.
You know, it's like, how lucky am I that my template for everything from dating other people to like the fiction that I write to like, you know, it's like just understanding how I should be treated in general. It just was, I'm an extremely lucky person to have met him and to have had that with him.
So there we have Alex and Emma, a perfect example of that college relationship, the one we're all familiar with in some form or another. They took themselves a little too seriously. They thought turning 20 made them ancient. They looked at graduation as if it were the end of the world. And that might sound silly now, but when you're in college, in your first tapered introduction to the real world, it's all you know. You go through all the motions of growing up, and that's especially true with college relationships. There are heartfelt declarations, silly arguments, heated ultimatums, and the slow building and painful realization that you eventually have to break someone's heart. Emma tried to end things with Alex a few times. They both were holding each other back in their own ways, spending weekends traveling to see each other and their nights on Skype calls. There may not have been a million reasons to break up, but there weren't very many reasons to stay together either. And of course it hurt, but at least they can laugh about it now. And just like when you're looking back on your time in college, these catastrophic events seem trivial. What seemed like the end of the world is just another Tuesday. And now, almost 6 years later, it's still the little things that keep them arguing. We brought them both back into the room to discuss the inconsistencies they saw in each other's recordings. And it's as wonderful and immature and lovely and sweet as you would imagine it to be.
Oh.
So I felt like God was punishing me.
All of the underage drinking stuff didn't happen.
Okay.
And
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure. You're definitely right. I was wrong. We never drank underage.
No, we had a very PG relationship on account of it being long distance for the majority of it.
For the sake of this statute of limitations on getting arrested for things that happen in public spaces, I'm not going to rebut that.
What else do we want to fight about?
I don't know why this is a sticking point, but first and foremost, I will say it was not a Halloween party, Alexander. It was a Disney-themed party, and that's why we were dressed up like Cinderella and Prince Charming. Do you think I'm basic enough of a bitch to dress up like Cinderella for Halloween after all this time?
And actually, that reminded me, I had a thing where I didn't have a single positive Halloween experience in college.
Now you still don't.
And disregarding the robbing and crying part of that night, I thought it was a good time, so...
It was also the first time I ever drank beer. So I felt like God was punishing me.
I felt like when Emma said that I was very sad in college, that was a little revisionist.
You were.
And
it wasn't. I remember having very long talks with you outside my dorm in Shenandoah, and you were not happy that first semester you were there. And I had to keep telling you to go to parties.
Like, you said that I wanted to transfer back and that I was upset that you also transferred, taking away that opportunity or like that escape route.
You and I had a very long conversation about this, and I remember exactly where I was. I was on that heat grate outside of our dorm, and I told you I was applying to UVA, and you were very upset. And I was upset that you were upset, and I couldn't even complain to anybody about it because I wasn't
telling anybody. I had no recollection of that. And for the record,
I do.
I have been very support. I have been in like our now reconnected professional lives, been very supportive of Emma's choice to make
you
that transfer.
You have been. No, I didn't mean to imply that you weren't supportive. I didn't mean to imply that, because once I got in, you were very supportive. But your initial reaction, as anyone's would be if they were having a rough time after having transferred, your initial reaction was, well, what I said that it was. And I didn't take that in like a malicious way. I just took that in a, you were having some trouble settling, as well I did when I transferred. As evidenced by the one time I called you sobbing my face off about an algebra problem.
I have no recollection of that. I really don't.
Oh my God.
And so that was something, I mean, it didn't, not that it rang untrue, but it was just very surprising because I honestly hadn't, I hadn't even really thought about that in years and years and years. And it was surprising.
Hmm. Yeah.
Is there anything you wish that the other didn't say?
I don't think there's anything that I wish he hadn't said. I wish that he'd been more honest about what a crazy bitch I was, because that happened.
So one of my pet peeves, actually, and one of my big pet peeves, is when guys describe their exes as the crazy ex. Because I think it cheapens, especially like when every ex is the crazy ex. Which I know people that talk like that. It's like, it's always the other person, and they're always crazy, and you never knew until, like, and then, like, all of a sudden, like, one day it flips, and it's like, they're not crazy, you're just mad. You know? So, no, I wouldn't describe Emma that way, and I also don't believe that.
That's, for the record, I was.
Was there anything that you found out that you never knew about each other or the relationship?
I know when Emma mentioned us reconnecting after we'd broken up and like her knowing it wasn't like going to be a thing, I think at that moment I did think that we were going to get back together. And it was interesting to hear her perspective of like that never was going to happen and like how wrong I read it in the moment. And like, wow, what an embarrassing mistake.
I don't think that was embarrassing. It was my mistake because I was the one that was like, I feel like, I mean, we both initiated it, but I should have been the one that was like, I see this heading in a direction and stopped it. So I think I'm the one who should be embarrassed about it.
Which of us do you think was worse, me pre-relationship or you post-relationship?
I have often thought about this, and I think that they kind of weigh themselves out. Like, I think they're about equal.
With the benefit of, you know, years and years of growing up, I could have handled the beginning of our relationship much better, and I think she could have handled the end of our relationship better.
It's super weird to me now that we're just, like, discussing this, because I remember at the time, I was like, well, I've burned this bridge forever. Like,
so have your feelings changed at all after listening to the other's tape?
I think that I just feel more resolve in them. Like, I don't think that anything's really changed. In some ways, I feel a little bit just like a little bit like my feelings about it are a little more solid than they were before, because I think there is always that question of like, I'm on this page, but was he on that page? And I feel like for a lot of it, we were pretty much on the same page.
It was nice to reconnect with someone that I never would have thought I'd hear from again. And I think it was interesting to me how things like that can change, like how you can go from never thinking you'll see someone again in your life and, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years down the road, they come back into it and all those assumptions you made turn out to be false.
Thanks to Alex and Emma for being the first to share their story on the X Games. You were wonderful guinea pigs. A special thanks to Pierre Bien-Aimé and Anna Parsons, our producers. Join us next time for another deep dive into a love story and its not-so-happily-ever-after. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, the Acast app, or anywhere you find your podcast. But the X Games is more than just a podcast. You can check it all out on EliteDaily.com.